Here, back to it. My name is Gijs Minderhout. We have our dear host, Wynn Free, and his co-host, Terry Brown.
All callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
It is February the 17th, 2016, and we have another beautiful show coming up, I hope. You have questions, we have answers. Wynn, thank you for being here. The mic to you. We could have started to
welcome.
All right, I'll turn off the things and then we start to record. All right. 17, Wynn.
This conference is being recorded.
This is February 17th. Thank you, guys, for letting me know. 2016, Wynn and Terry in Sedona, everyone everywhere. And thank you all who are asking questions, okay? And let me just see. I'm just putting in another question that just came in. And Terry, we're not ready, right? Let's see if I hear you. Hello, Terry.
Right.
Okay. I got you.
Okay.
All right. Another beautiful day on planet Earth, in spite of it all. We are in a crazy time. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here. Any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields, planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. We invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. We create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now. We just take a moment and we surround our planet with this energy that we are creating, the energy of the combination of the moving together of all our souls, our sources. We create a love, light energy surrounding our planet. We send this energy to the Ring of Fire, the land masses surrounding the Pacific Ocean. We send this energy to the Ukraine, to Syria, to all those trouble spots in the world. We ask for gentle rain in those areas that are experiencing drought. We ask for transmutation of negative energies on our planet that are artificially produced, designed to control us and manipulate us. We ask for the releasing of all fear that any of us might have, and stepping into the knowingness that it's okay and we're okay. And do we have our sources present?
Yes. This is Fa'an, and we greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. We look over the planet, and we monitor energies that are putting pressure on other energies. And we give the fight to the Japan Sea and to the island of Japan and to Taiwan and to New Zealand and to the area extending to the Wanda-Fuka Strait. And we bring the light and energy and solace to Earth and then to the people of Earth and to each and every person on the call. And we thank each and every person for the opportunity to serve. Do you have questions?
Yes. First question is from Rosia in Toronto. And Rosia, I'm going to ask your second question. And in the second question, you make a lot of suppositions or postulates, which I might have to ask about what they mean before the rest of the question is answered. Because I'll read the question as it's put forth. If universal law means non-interference and aliens are forbidden to intervene, does that mean that universal law really exists? Or is universal law an illusion? And, you know, the complication of that question is, what is universal law? We have all of these dimensions. We have 3D, the dimension that we're in our bodies. We have 4D and 5D, and up to where time stops and the one infinite creator is. And each of those dimensions has its own laws. And I think I would have to ask the question, is there a universal law that supersedes all the laws of the lower dimensions? And, of course, maybe the universal law is what Ra calls the law of one. But in any case, let me pose that question and that your question maybe will get answered within the context of it. Thank you.
Thank you. There are laws within laws. There are laws within the third dimension. There are laws within the city, within the state, within the international laws. And laws are sometimes broken. And if it is a law within the state or within the traffic of a city, then there can be consequences. If we look higher, we broaden our scope and we include universal laws, there are definitely universal laws, which also, if they are broken, they have consequences. The law of one is one such law. And when one places themselves outside of the law of one and say, oh, I'm separate, and then they place themselves as separate, and then they suffer the consequences of separating out. There are laws, like the law of one, that then when one does not follow them, they begin a series of lessons of the consequences of the separating out from the law of one, and they can begin to feel that they're alone and that they are not wanted or they are not loved or they are not deserving, and then they isolate themselves further, and then they suffer all the consequences of isolation. So self-worth is one of the things that when a person knows that they have self-worth and they are deserving, then they can accept love, they can receive love, they can give love, they can flow back and forth, they can move in and out of things, and they do not suffer the consequences of isolation. So laws are broken at times or many times where the individuals who are breaking those laws, they are not given a ticket for breaking the law of one and going off into isolationism, but they suffer the consequences of it, and it is their own self that need to accept themselves back as part of the universe, as part of the all that is, for them to come back into community and giving and receiving of love.
And to go on with her question, she says, if universal law means, and the question is, I'm not sure if universal law means this, if it means non-interference and aliens are forbidden to intervene, then, of course, the question is, why do they do that? And if there's a law of free will, how is it that there are so many beings in this realm that seem to blatantly violate the law of free will as it relates to other people, and that are just too happy to enslave people and control them?
Thank you. As they do this, then as they break the higher law, they are not issued a ticket, but they begin within their own separation to suffer the consequences. The laws are it is part of the build-up in the way the universe is ordered, the way that the building blocks of everything that is are put together. When one violates it, they begin to suffer the consequences. They may not be able to ascend anymore, as they don't feel that they are deserving or want to face their life review. And one may not realize all the consequences of taking over another's free will. One may feel they are above the law, and they can write their own law. Many people feel that way. And then they suffer the consequences of their actions. We hope that that helps.
Thank you. Next question. Now, this is from Jim in Medford, New Jersey. And this is like a fine point of what we call this dimensional shift. If we are to be experiencing a dimensional shift, is there a period between the two, or is it immediate? I believe that we've covered this in the past, where some people say the shift is going to be like somebody just turns a light on and everything shifts. And some people say that that was originally a possibility, but that's not a possibility now. And then other people say, and I believe our sources say, this is a gradual thing, and each person is going to make their own individual shift if they meet the criteria. So Jim says, I recently observed a video showing a harmonically vibrating metal sheet with table salt on its surface. As the resonance hones in on certain frequencies, specific geometric patterns are formed. As the frequency moves past that point, the salt becomes disorganized again until the next specific frequency pattern is arrived at. My point is that to get from one to the next seems to require a turbulent phase. And maybe rather than turbulent, or we should say disorganized phase, I am assuming each vibrational state we are leaving and then entering into has such a concise alignment. I relate the shift between the two or the current observations of our global societies. It's chaotic. Is this simply a manifestation of the energies in the process of realigning? If so, how long is the transitional period? And Jim, I'll say in previous questions, it's like if you're looking for a pattern that falls down on the entire planet, I don't believe that's the way they said it's going to happen, that there's going to be subgroups. There's going to be separation of souls. Some of you might feel like this group that we're in is part of the separation of souls, because the realities here, once you start to incorporate them, one seems to withdraw from the general consensus reality at that point and starts operating with a whole different set of variables. So in that, let us turn it over to our sources and see what they say.
Thank you. It is a very good observation that as certain energies affect the manifest reality, that the fine points of organization adapt to that. The higher the frequency that is projected, is run into, is gone through by Earth, then the manifestation of each of the individual bodies needs to adjust. And if it does not keep up with the change, then it is difficult to maintain order and organization and tracking of one with their own surroundings. That if they're able to then move and to have the molecules of their body reorganize, their DNA begin to reorganize their own soul connection to all that is, begin to rise and to take hold and keep connected with the whole rising vibration, then one is able to maintain maintain and grow and follow through the new paradigms and new organization of the matter involved. The Earth is moving through, and the whole planetary system is moving through changes in energy. And it is making it harder for less attuned beings to be born and to be able to stay with the body and manifest the life in the new reorganized patterns. That is why the many individuals coming in are of a higher vibration, indigo children, crystal children. That is their answer.
Thank you. Next question. This is from Colleen. I was recently reading of a finding that women who carry a child retain some DNA from their child in their body throughout their lifetime. It's called the chimera effect, I believe. Also, that the cells that remain in their body can help with fighting certain illnesses. If this is true, I was wondering how this transfer of cells into the mother's body would affect her spiritually, and if this is what creates a psychic link between families.
Yes, the vibration being present in the womb is then recognized by the rest of the body. The vibration being there can be even more physical and can begin to migrate to various areas of the body and can begin then to make the psychic connection between the mother and the child. It is a connection, not only in the physical, but a connection that extends into the astral, in the area of connection of a vibration. And it is true that the molecules felt, not in all cases, but in many cases, can help improve the immunity of the mother, which is a help in the whole giving birth process and the whole carrying of the child, which makes the mother stronger so that she is able to carry the child better.
Thank you. I would think there's a transfer of DNA from the mother to the child as well, yes?
Yes, there is. And that is why one can measure the DNA of the child and then there is a whole study of family DNA. The child, you can tell by studying the child's DNA, it is indeed the mother's child and indeed the father's child, as there are components of the DNA of the mother and the father in the child's DNA. Oftentimes when a child is born, the child that's like the parents, and then as the child gets older and manifests vibrations of his unique soul into his body, then he looks more and more like the individual of his past life. However, he does carry components of the mother and father in his own DNA.
Okay.
That's our answer.
Next question. This is from Bonnie in Corona. Bonnie had a session where, a very interesting session. I hope she doesn't mind. I just want to share like something brief about the session she had because it relates to her question. And it has to do with the fact that she came into this realm as a group. Not she was a group, with a group. From another planet. And in some way they got marooned here, I believe. And they've gone through many, 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 many lifetimes. And that the people in her life now, many of them that she's close to, if not all of them, I don't know, were part of that crew. So here's the question. I was excited to learn recently that 5 of the 8 crew members aboard my invisible craft are myself, my parents, and my 2 sons. I have 3 siblings, 1 living, 2 deceased. Are they also part of the group? How fascinating to think of the planning that must have taken place prior to incarnation, especially since my sons have different fathers. Could you shed some light on how all this is possible? Thank you.
Thank you. The connection is not as much physical as it is vibrational, as it is memory, as it is the love, the recognition of familiar energy, the bonding of lifetime after lifetime of working with someone and recognizing at a subconscious level that they are part of your group. As we do take a look, we just see that there were others, as you mentioned, your siblings, that were part of the original group. The lessons that are learned in the their density are the important things, and the potential for getting back to the heavenly realm and knowing that you can make home wherever you are, however, that there is the higher realm of home, and it is a wonderful place to meet where your parents are, and to be connected and to get briefed so that as you ascend to this place in the higher realms between lives, you can get a whole broader perspective and know the growth that your group has had, that you have had, by your experiences in the third density.
Thank you. There's a couple questions people submitted that are kind of bordering on like psychic type questions, and I'll mention them. But I don't know how they're going to be addressed or handled. And this is from Sarah in Evanston, Illinois. My life savings have been stolen from my safe. Can you give me some clues who did it? I don't know if they can do that without violating free will, even though certainly someone violated your free will. Is there a possibility I misplaced it and now can't remember? I am 99.99% sure it was stolen from my apartment, but I am not convinced. So she says, 0.1% not being convinced. Can you help me? Thank you. Sarah.
Give us a moment. Would you feel that they were taken surreptitiously when you were not around? And have been distributed. And check back when you remember for sure that they were there and see who was working for you during the period between when you knew they were there and when they were lost. We look for a possibility not only of who may have done it, but of what you can do. It is difficult to trace, even if you were to know who had taken them. It is difficult to know we take a look at we take a moment to further look around we see that for a time they were placed in a study we see them removed slowly. The time zones at each particular time in history of either of those possessions, we see that they were under different care, under the care of different people. That is our first thought, is to think back when you first knew, you actually knew they were there, and when you first knew that they were missing, and to think back over that gap in time and then see where they might have gone from place to place and who was working for you at that time. The possessions that are valuable in this life and are helpful do not move with you to the higher realms. So your own spirit progress is more important than those possessions. And so rank the possessions in order of importance in your life. Possessions can be replaced. And the memories, the knowledge, the growth that you get in your life can be taken with you. Possessions are a memory, can only be taken as a memory. We hope that helps some, and we see the soreness of having them not present now.
Thank you. Next question. This is from Terry. Again, this is one of those kinds of questions that I may not ask in the future, but I'll put it out and we'll see what happens. Can you tell me what is causing the breathing issues with my cat, Violet? The veterinarians cannot figure out what is wrong with her. What is necessary for her treatment? Violet is her name, and we live in Roselle, New Jersey.
And who is the questioner?
Terry Schoback.
Thank you. We see that there is an infection in the area that is creating mucus and difficulty, and that needs to be a clearing of the passages in the area, and there needs to be food for the kitty that is converted in the metabolism of the kitty to the kitty's system to create enough healing that this can begin to clear. We suggest that you evaluate nutritional food that you are giving to the kitty to make fresh nutrients in it that the kitty can easily, their body can easily utilize, and to check the kitty's, where the kitty sleeps, to make sure the area is clean and free of dust. We send healing vibrations to your kitty, Violet.
Thank you. Next question is from D. Let me ask a preliminary question before I ask D's question. You know, there's something that people call astral travel. And astral travel, I believe, is where your soul essence, your astral body, can move from one location to another on the astral plane. And that when you die, most people go to the astral plane and they're involved in astral travel or not, but they're on that plane. And then there's something else, which I would call soul travel, where you can stay in the center of your body. You're not leaving it, but you can project from your body energy through dimensions. Could our sources explain something about this differentiation?
Thank you. One can bilocate and stay in the center of their own being in their body, and can also then be in another location at the same time, and can even have the sight and the sound and the taste and the smell of the area that they are visiting. That is one way to travel. One can get into different... Yes.
Would you call that astral travel? And when someone bilocates, does that mean they're in a body in both locations?
Not necessarily in a body. They might visit another location. They can be in two locations at one time and occupy two bodies. That is possible. We would consider the first thing that we have discussed as the is aspect of soul travel, where soul travel can be where the body has moved, the body has passed on, and then the whole being moves as a being and can change dimensions, can move higher. The astral we look at, where a being leaves their body with their astral body and moves into another location and can see the area, can view the surroundings, can see the color, and can also smell and taste and have different perceptions of the area they are visiting. One has to be careful with astral traveling because they are doing so with a tether cord to their body. And if they get too preoccupied with where they are, they can let the tether cord go, and then the body will begin to die. And it may be very hard to get back, very hard to reestablish the heartbeat, the bring back the body to life if they let go of their tether cord. So they need to be careful when they are astral traveling that they do not allow themselves to be hit by, to get in the way of a physical object and be hit by it, because it may knock them out of their tether cord.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Dee's question is, today I remembered having an astral projection about 5 years ago. During this projection, I thought of my friend and going to see him during my projection. And at that moment, I thought, no, I don't want to. And I made another fleeting thought to go, then realized I simply didn't care. I then proceeded to move through my house. I've never forgotten that attitude about not caring about going. And later, after the projection was over, I was very surprised by this. Was my higher self involved in my choosing not to go? My feeling of not caring? Was there something I knew in that state that I couldn't know in any other way? It seems so contrary, as this is someone I've deeply loved most of my life. Thanks for answering my question, Dee.
Thank you, dear May, who've been reasons why it was not prudent to visit at that time. And it may have been beyond the reach of your knowledge. The individual may have been preoccupied with something that it was not the right time for the visit, that it was better at that time to not have visited.
Would that kind of visitation, could that be a violation of somebody else's free will or privacy?
Yes, it could, potentially. If the person was involved in something private and did not wish to be disturbed, you can pick that up, and then there is a silent agreement between your higher self and the person that you would not go at that time. Are you there?
Yes. One last question. It's 7:51, and I'm just going to ask this on Rosia's behalf. And Rosia's been having this ongoing circumstance with her hand not working properly after some injury. And the hand physiotherapist that I just started to see. Now, let me just put a disclaimer here. I don't necessarily, I'm going to ask these kind of questions in the future. I don't want to ask health-related questions. We are not therapists. We're not, you know, licensed to give medical advice. I don't want to take the responsibility for that. In this case, Rosie's been asking about this so much. She's a regular to our calls. I'm going to let this question go through. And that doesn't mean I'm going to answer questions like this in the future. Okay? The hand physiotherapist that I just started to see from a hand clinic in a hospital told me that after a hand injury, a person never gets 100% of their hand back. And this hand clinic and other hand clinics do not deal with fine hand motor skills that I am looking to get back. Is there something else I can do other than continuing to do these painful hand exercises myself and drinking ozonated water to get my fine motor skills back? Any help would be appreciated.
We suggest that there may be some salve or some substance that you could rub upon your wrist and hand, that you work not only with one side, but you work with the other side also to balance the electrical energies. We suggest you do further research because there are other potentials for rebuilding the electrical network within your hand. There may be information in Jerry Tennant's works about electrical potential, healing is voltage, the name of a book. Voltage is healing. We are looking at your hand, and there needs to be, there has been a break in the electrical connection, and there needs to be a reestablishment of that, of the electrical connection at the point of the break. It will be painful as this is reestablished, as the two parts go back together and connect the pin A, the sharp or maybe there, but it is a sign that the connection is attempting to be made. Those are comments.
Thank you. I know Liz is going to ask, what should the sound be? Is that something she is going to have to research?
Yes.
You're going to have to research that yourself?
Research that. We envision an electrical moderator with some sieve that helps to increase viability flow and the presence of substances within the arm that may give support and ability for reconnection.
Mm-hmm.
We see that there is some scar tissue. And so there is a salve that can help to dissolve scar tissue that is manufactured by Dr. Marshall. You might check out Dr. Robert Marshall and give a call to one of his offices. Healthline.cc, you might check that on the computer. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, I'd like to mention that when Terry looks at health things, oftentimes she has studied alternative health all her life, and oftentimes things come up that she has studied, which may be very valid, okay, but perhaps should not be looked at like coming from another dimension from the Elohim. It doesn't mean they're not worth pursuing. And it's good to pursue everything when you have a situation that might help. Okay, on that note, we're going to bring this session to a close. And I thank Terry, thank our sources, thank all of you who have asked questions. I thank Hive for reading everybody. And on that note, we'll open our lines and see you on Sunday.
All callers are unmuted.
Thank you, Wynn.
Thanks, Terry.
Thanks, Wynn.
Terry.
You're
welcome.
Thank you, Ron.
Been a pleasure. Our conference recording has stopped.
Love to see you all.